This what I think it is?
Probably.
Best song ever.
It's gonna be hard not to dance. I just saw Kevin Wheeler die a little bit.
A little
you like this song, Kev?
I died all the way. No.
This song rocks.
Yeah, rocks is not exactly the term I would put there.
Boy, I just had a close call.
Yeah?
Yes. Did you guys know?
Did you get asked to perform surgery because you're wearing the collared shirt?
No, I could do that. I could do that.
Oh, you were tapped to run the whole company because of the
yes.
Oh, yeah, sure.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. He looks like a casual CEO, doesn't
yeah.
he? No, you guys know I'm not a tutor. I don't toot much.
Mm-hmm. I thought you meant like a tutor, like students are under your tutelage.
Nope. You didn't do that much either.
Yeah, nope. I don't. No, no.
Neither.
I do that even less.
Neither,
so
really.
We shouldn't call you Dave the Ripper.
But you don't toot much.
I don't toot much. And when I do, it's a surprise. And maybe it's a collared shirt.
It's
but
a surprise.
On that last break, I got up, went walking. And realized just about the time I was literally 3 feet from Michael Calhoun that not only did I need to toot, I was going to toot.
Yeah, it was going to happen.
It was going to happen. Yeah. And my only goal was to just make it past Michael and toot on Sean Malone. And so I wish there were cameras because I just walked through the newsroom like Pinocchio.
Pinocchio.
Just like a wooden boy.
Oh,
just,
like, you know, like, is he a noted farter?
Nothing was moving.
Pinocchio's a crop duster?
And that's why he wanted to be a real boy so bad.
He saw all the fun the real boys were having. Playing like, the fart game.
Man, I've had a turtle head for years. But I made it to the hallway.
All right.
There you go.
It's good.
Success.
It's all good. You don't want to toot next to Michael.
I mean, probably don't want to do that next to anyone that's not really part of the game.
I don't want to know what he would do if you did, though. Like, it's best to not.
Maybe he'd put it in the news.
That would be the greatest thing ever. News plays. Breaking news from the KMOX newsroom. Dave just farted on me.
We have
You'll
a second sinkhole.
He's a total tutor.
Total tutor.
First the sinkhole, now the stinkhole.
It's all he
Saul
does.
Saul Glover.
He says he rarely toots. Evidence would suggest otherwise.
Were you extra especially nervous because you're wearing khakis? They're just less forgiving.
Yeah. If, he's like, no
blowout. If there's a further mistake, there's nowhere to hide.
Yeah, it's
true. And in shorts, you don't have as much
protection.
It's all escaping. Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm glad I didn't think of these things.
Now Dave's going to walk around the hallway going, ooh. He's going to be walking around with the clenched cheeks.
That's funny. I kind of want to talk about a real thing that I'm interested in. People have their politics and, you know, I love you because you're conservative. I hate you because you're conservative. But since the UFC match, I don't know if you guys have noted this in social media, but non-Trump people are calling out celebrities who were there. And Nate Bargatze has become the whipping boy.
Really?
Yeah. So if you don't know Nate, he's a comedian. No one knew his name 5 years ago. Now he's like the biggest thing in the world, and he's opening up, you know, theme parks. He's a very clean comedian. I'm going to guess he's on the conservative side, religious. So no surprise to me. But he was at the UFC event with RFK. And people are just dogging him. And, you know, the comment section of social media, whatever. But it's just thousands of comments of, I'm so done with this guy. And do you think that's fair? I mean, people are going to do what they're going to do. But, you know, one day it'll be us on the wrong side of things. Like, what do you think?
I mean, people are allowed to spend their money and put their attention anywhere they'd like. And I think for Nate Bargatze, I know kind of part of his persona is like, I'm just a dumb guy and my wife tells me how to do everything. But like, he's smart enough to know that if you go to that event, Yeah. There are going to be a lot of people who don't like it. So I just look at the situation going, hey, he made a calculated decision that this was okay for him, and he did it, and he's going to deal with the fallout from that.
The subtext to this is that, who just did it? Jelly Roll did it about 6 months ago. Bargatze did it yesterday. The Rock did it yesterday. And they think the defense to this is, hey, I'm just not political. Mm-hmm. I like keep it separate, you know, and blah, blah, blah. And that's really horking people off. And that's a more interesting question to me is in this day and age, 2026, if you, whether it's celebrity or just, you know, Hank down the street, are we no longer really allowed without pushback to just not talk about it? I know, Wheels, you think everything's political and you hate that.
Yeah, I don't judge a performer based on who they vote for or who they align with, but I understand people that do. And if you want to choose to not pay money to see Nate Bargatze or to see, I don't know, who's the most liberal whipping boy or whoever, it doesn't matter. That's all right. You can choose to do that if it bothers you. Unless the person is just an absolute jerk, one way or the other, and it couldn't matter to me left or right. If that person's kind of a jerk, well, then fine. But I mean, I'm not that worried about it.
I think it's also a little unfair to say, like, I'm just not political. Well, you went to an event at the White House of the most controversial president of my lifetime, at least. Most of our lifetimes, I would assume. And, you know, it was like a birthday celebration for him. And there was lots of controversy surrounding the event. I think it's maybe pretty disingenuous to show up to something like that and be like, why is everybody mad?
Yeah,
like,
just be a grown up.
Yeah, just own your decision. You made the decision. You knew what it was going to be. Like, the idea that you're going to go to an event like this and no one's going to say anything. And in fact, everyone's going to go like, I'm glad you had a good time, Nate. Like, that's not realistic.
Mm-hmm. Oh, that's fine.
And I support, he should be able to go.
Correct.
It's just, we get into this silly trap of like, I need to do what I want to do, but like, you can't criticize me for it.
Yes.
And it's like, no, everyone has their freedom of opinion and they can post whatever they want about you online, you know, within reason, of course.
Well, it's a similar thing to what we've talked about with the stand-up comics who want to work the edge. Well, you know what you're doing.
Yeah.
You're doing that on purpose because it's going to make you money.
Yeah.
Because it's your calling card. So then you got to accept what comes with it. If you don't want the criticism, don't do the controversy. I mean, it's and again, if you choose the controversy, that's fine. If you have an audience that wants it and is going to pay you and you're going to, that's fine. Go for it.
Yeah. In a related topic, you know, all the polls show that younger people are, you know, out on Republicans and kind of out on the country. And this poll really shocked me. 18 to 29 year olds in 2015, 18 to 29 year olds were asked if they were proud to be an American. 73% said yes. They just did the same exact questionnaire poll, and now it's down to 31% of 18 to 29 year olds. Only 31% are proud to be American. Here's my, we can take this anywhere you want, but here's my specific question. People mature. People evolve. You know, I think it was, you know, who said it? If you're young and liberal and you're old and blah, you have no heart, you have no brain.
Oh, was it Reagan?
No, it was Churchill. Churchill said it. But what do you think? I mean, that says to me that I'm going to age in a very liberal country.
Why is it liberal to say that you're not proud to be an American?
That's a great question. Yeah. That's a fair question.
I mean, that's unfair because there are plenty of people who vote left who are very, very proud to be an American. I don't think that's like kind of propaganda of like patriot equals MAGA. Like, no, that's not true.
Well, I mean, but the whole premise of MAGA, it literally stands for make America great, which means you thought it fell off.
Yes.
Right?
Right.
So so you by definition, were saying that America was not great before.
Yes.
So why is it illogical that people who see things differently than you would now see this as not great?
I think it might be a mistake to be like, oh, they're young. They're not proud because they're young. Because 10 years ago, the same demographic of people we're proud, right? So I find it unlikely that this new batch of young people are just all inherently different. I find it more likely that our culture has shifted in such a way that people are thinking of the country differently throughout all age groups. Mm-hmm. But particularly like young people who are in the midst of taking civics classes and what have you. Mm-hmm. They are just thinking of it differently because life has changed quite a bit in the past 10 years.
Yeah.
I mean, even just the USA, I have different feelings about it. It hasn't affected like my patriotism, but the way I look at our country pre and post COVID, it's just different because I saw what we were capable of. I saw what we weren't capable of. And you just start thinking about things differently and maybe questioning different things.
One thing that I personally really hate, and I've really not heard anyone talk about this, is I hate the fact that MAGA, which I'm very against, has very successfully co-opted patriotism, patriot, the American flag, to the point that I love America, I love the American flag, but I don't know that I would display it on my clothes or something, lest people think I was MAGA. Does that make sense?
No one can take the American flag away from me.
Yeah.
If you want to assume I'm MAGA because I'm flying the American flag at my home, like, fine, but I'm not going to let the people
But
try.
You know what I mean, though.
I get what you mean, but it
Patriot
takes...
Patriot has become MAGA.
For sure, but it takes reasonable people to just go, yeah, no. It's kind of like, I'm not saying that MAGA is the same as like white supremacists, but remember when it was like, white supremacists, they're going to take over New Balance sneakers. Those are the official sneakers of the white supremacists. And we all of us who like New Balance were basically like, no, you can't have that. Yeah. We're not going to just stop wearing. And then it like that rumor or whatever kind of went away. Like, you're not going to get me to stop flying the American flag.
Yeah, I think the whole fight over patriotism is pretty childish. It feels like the grade school, like my dad could beat up your dad nonsense. Why can't everyone have their own way of being patriotic? I have my way. I don't expect anybody else to be like me. You can be like me or you can be the way you want to be. If you want to wear, you know, a big American flag bathrobe over top of an American flag bathing suit with an American flag hat, carrying an American flag, walking down the street, go for it. But if my version of it is quieter or just more respectful, why is that wrong?
It's definitely. And then you get into like the flag code, if anyone's interested in that at all, which discourages you from.
You're not supposed to wear clothing with a flag
but
on it.
For some reason, we got all jumbled up and it's like, the more I have it on, the more it means that I love this country. And it's like, wait, you think that just by simply donning the colors, that gives you more credentials as far as like loving our country? It's very, very silly.
Yeah.
It's kind of a waste of a conversation getting into it with someone who truly feels that way because it's just like, we're not thinking of things in the same way at all. But
yeah. Yeah. Well, good discussion. I appreciate that. G23, DJ and KMOX. Rach, you have a Father's Day question?
I do. You see a lot of gift guides around this time of year, like what your dad really wants for Father's Day. And it just got me to thinking about men's presents in general, whether it's Father's Day or Christmas or whatever. These gift guides usually have the same type of things on them. It's like stuff for golf, stuff for barbecue. But my question for you guys is, what is it that you actually want? Like outside of your own, like, you know, if it's something not necessarily like a Bigfoot thing for you, Dave, but like a practical item that you would be pleased to receive that maybe these gift guides are missing. Or if you receive gifts like that, are you ever like, oh, yeah, it's the generic Father's Day gift?
Evidently, according to my family, I am the absolute worst person to buy gifts for who's ever lived. Which is amazing to me because I have so many things I'm into. Like just, you know, throw a dart at a dartboard, you know, buy that. I'm also terrible at gift receiving.
Are you?
Because I make you feel like I hate it, and I just can't, I can't control it. But the first thing that came up in my mind is like an electric beard trimmer.
Okay.
Because I'm bald, I use it every day, and I always forget where I put the charger, so I have to keep buying new ones. true story.
So that's kind of falling in line with the type of gifts that these gift guides usually suggest, though, which is like just something practical.
I think I speak for all fathers. Whether the child is 3 years old or 30 years old, all I really want is something sentimental. Like Phoebe did a painting for me a couple years ago and then wrote on the back of it something really nice. I'm going to cry. That was fantastic.
Mm-hmm.
I would rather have that than all of the beard trimmers in the world. Well, maybe not all of them.
What if it was all of them?
Yeah, I could resell those.
Yeah, you could make
a
living on that. Yeah.
So yeah, screw Phoebe. No, I don't know about you, Kev, but like honestly, I know that's like the politically correct answer, but it's also the real answer.
Yeah. What would be like if there was a gift guide for Kevin Wheeler? Would it match up with these gift guides you typically see?
No, not at all. Not with those.
He wants a razor scooter.
Would it mostly?
I think I'm pretty easy. Yeah, I'm pretty easy. I mean, you can buy steaks, you can buy sci-fi stuff, video games, sports. I'm going to like it. We're pretty much, I mean, my family's good. They know what I like, and especially Susan, she's super creative about finding cool things that she knows I'm going to like. Like there's no mystery. I'm not difficult in that way. Does your family say it's difficult for you because you buy things you want?
Probably.
And it's hard to find things that you may not have already got for yourself.
And I blow through
things
pretty
quick.
Because
I do that too. I try to have like a 2 month moratorium around like my birthday or whatever where I don't do it.
Yeah.
I don't always succeed, but I try.
Andrew, you're the father of a little kitty cat.
Mm-hmm.
What kind of things do you like to, like when you see those gift guides for men, do you ever look at it and go like, I don't want this? Or does it appeal to you?
Is it just enough for you that she brings you a mouse?
Yeah, it's enough that she brings me mice and lizards with no legs. Ripped off. She's been having a real tough time.
It's weird. Phoebe's panty was of a lizard with no legs.
No, I think the most of those gift guides for men are a little bit silly. I mean, it's not unlike, you know, when you see like gift guide for women, it's very generalized and it's like
perfume, scarves.
But there's so much more stuff for women. Like,
no, you're right.
There's like, we like candles. We like this. With men,
I
it's
like
literally
candles.
Like barbecue supplies.
Yeah, those are good. I like those.
And then like the sports team is on the hat and it's like, okay, well, what else? We can't think of anything else.
Well, that's part of the problem, right? Like it's one thing if you're like, it's Father's Day, so you have to buy gifts for someone else's father. Like it's your dad.
Yes.
Or your, you know, mom or your loved one, whatever that you're buying for. You should, you know, just use your head. Like, you know, your dad, get him something that he would like. Don't look at a silly, like, generalized gift guide or whatever.
Word. Welcome back, guys. DGS on KMOX. Time to talk to our pal Ricky Horton. Hey, Rick.
Hey, Dave. Good to chat with you. Boy, your voice sounds familiar. Have we met?
I got to tell you guys something. This will come as no surprise to anyone because Ricky's a professional athlete. Brother can play some golf.
Yeah.
He can hit the ball really far.
Well, for my age, maybe. I mean, don't sign me up on a tour anywhere soon, but we had fun today. It was great.
Yeah, you played really well today. I mean, and Ed Curtis, everyone knows Ed. He's like the mayor of St. Louis town. 84, yes. 84 years old and outplays all of us by a pretty good margin.
Yeah.
That's
so
awesome.
He's my muse. He's my goal. I want to be. I mean, when you have the kind of the athletic kind of fire in you, you want to find something you can keep working at when you get older. And Ed's a good example of, and you know, and there are others like that. I know some folks where I play at Whitmore that are like that. They're playing into their 80s, and it's like, you know what? That's a nice pursuit to be able to kind of just do something that you're passionate about, and you want to keep trying to. get better at. I mean, it's just, it's a good thing to do.
Yeah, Ed hosted this morning out at Far Oaks in Caseyville. I'd never been there before. Beautiful course. Can't wait to play it again. Rick, we were talking about this on the course today. Last night with Dustin May was not only one of the best games ever and just super exciting, and it's just right on brand for this year's Cardinals, but something tells me some money is going to exchange hands at some point in the future based on last night, whether we're going to pay him or someone else is going to pay him, but good on him.
Well, he does have big hands, and I think he can hold a lot of money, and honestly, if it's, you know, whether they Venmo him or whoever they pay him. No, I think it was a great day for him, clearly. But it hasn't just been this day. He's pitched really well. And so I'm excited for him. I think he's showing, you know, what he was kind of meant to be if he was healthy for a prolonged period of time. Really hasn't happened much for him. The Cardinals have given him a chance to flourish, which I think, honestly, I think he appreciates that too. So, I mean, that's what you want. You want it to be win-win for everybody. Here's a guy that, you know, needed the chance. The Cardinals needed a guy like him, and so it just fits.
And the good thing about it, there are a couple levels to it, Ricky. Obviously, you can build the relationship and the player wants to stay and you can keep him around. But you also can build the reputation for helping people get back on track, which is something that Tampa Bay, yes, Milwaukee, and some others. And let's be honest, that was Dave Duncan. Right. For a long time, yeah, the Cardinals knew exactly what that looked like. That reputation is a good one to have.
So we just played two teams. Actually, I think we played three teams in the last month. I have to think about who the other team was. I know the Mets were one. The Twins were another, where 3/5 of their rotation is on the injured list. So yeah, think about that.
Yeah.
So if you are a player that's going to be a free agent, and you hear that the Cardinals went through the entire 2025 season and had one injury to a pitcher, and it was their calf, I mean, on a going to field a bunt, which has nothing to do with arm injury, you're going to say, this is an organization that takes care of pitchers. And I think the same is true. So I think Ollie and Dusty Blake and the entire staff, the medical staff, is showing something for a potential signee, and whether you're talking about a big-name free agent or even a marginal guy that wants to kind of get his career going again, St. Louis is, I think, developing that reputation as a good place to come, to get back on track, to feel like you're going to be protected. Steven Matz said that while he was here. He said, boy, the Cardinals were great to me to get me back on track.
It's an interesting dynamic with Dustin May, Ricky, because if this were a normal offseason upcoming and we weren't looking at a lockout, I would think he would have a pretty strong market. You know, maybe not he's not going to be the 5-6-7 year guy because of his health history, but probably looking at a strong 3 or 4 year contract at a lot of money. But because of the labor uncertainty, we don't know if there's going to be a cap or not a cap. When that ends, there's probably only going to be a couple of weeks before players need to report. It could be chaos. I wonder if that circumstance opens a door for the Cardinals and he to maybe say, maybe we could do something for next year or a year after that so we don't have to deal with all that chaos.
I think the options are all open. And it always depends, you know, every deal is predicated, as we always talk about, you know, kind of make me an offer I can't refuse.
Right, right.
And if somebody really needs pitching. Oh, the Padres, another example. Three-fifths of their rotation is out also. So, you know, Padres are still in it. They're competing against the Dodgers, of course. But they have so much money invested in where they are now. They may want to spend more just to kind of make that work.
Right.
And, you know, I could see that as a landing spot for somebody like Dustin May. I'm not saying he's going there. I'm not predicting that. I'm just saying there's a lot of teams that might kind of go in that direction. And so, honestly, the doors, all kinds of doors are open, whether it's kind of stay the course, you know, double down. I mean, the Cardinals could do a lot of different things over the next two months.
Rick, we had a really interesting conversation today out on the course. When you think about a baseball team, any given team, any given year, you know who the cast of characters are. You got your grizzled veterans, and you got your young guys and your rookies. And this year we don't. And you're talking about what a absolutely delightful clubhouse it is this year.
Yeah, and we specifically were talking about Ryan Stanek, and we started a conversation. There were others asking about Ryan Stanek and kind of how he's pitching. He had a bad day the other day, but he came back, and mostly he's been really good in the last three weeks. But part of the whole get of Ryan Stanek was the Cardinals identified him as a guy that could really be And again, they didn't want to go with five guys like this because they're going young, but at least somebody who could kind of help model kind of what it means to be a big leaguer. And he had a great reputation as being a fun and good teammate and a guy that would shepherd people. So, you know, his value is transcends kind of what he does on the field. And so, but again, if you don't have a good clubhouse, it doesn't work. And for the Cardinals this year, having a good clubhouse has really been a lot of a burden on the coaching staff. And the Cardinals coaching staff has expanded. I don't think there's not enough conversation going on about the fact that, you know, Dusty Blake has an assistant now, and Brant Brown has an extra assistant now in the hitting coach area. So you're talking about several more layers of coaches. The Cardinals were way behind on that, way behind in the minor leagues. And so when they invested, they didn't invest in free agents. They invested in coaches to help young players be better, and that has really worked well.
Ricky, you know, not long ago, when we're going back to the range of the 2011 World Series, there was a lot of Memphis Mafia there, right? It was the John Jay, Matt Adams, Daniel Descalso. Well, those guys are on the coaching staff, or at least two of them are on the coaching staff now. But there are some similarities. You have a lot of guys on this team that played together in the minor leagues, either for long periods of time or short crossover stretches. I wonder how much that plays into it, because you got a little bit of a Memphis Mafia thing going on in that clubhouse right now.
Yeah, and I'm always afraid to use Memphis Mafia because I grew up in New York, and that's always the word I'm afraid to say. But I do think that there's some reality to that. You're building a young, and we might say core now. I mean, so what was the Memphis Mafia? It was a bunch of young players that all matured at the same time.
Right.
So we had a Louisville Mafia. Again, I'm going to use that word carefully. But we had a Louisville group that was the same. It was Terry Pendleton and Todd Worrell and Ken Daly and Vince Coleman. I mean, so. But what we're saying by that phrase now, and we've come to understand that, is a bunch of young guys that are maturing at the same time. And 1985 worked out great. We were predicted to come in last place in 1985. And all of those guys kind of matured at the same time. And Danny Cox, Kirk Capshire, I mean, you could name a lot of people, Tom Nieto, a lot of people all of a sudden got better at the same time, and that's what's happening with this Cardinal team. How far will they go? Who knows? That's always the joy of baseball. You got to wait and figure it out. But I think that philosophy is something that Tampa Bay has used in the past. I'm very familiar with that. Like, get a core guy, a core bunch of guys play and have them mature at the same time and see what happens.
Fascinating stuff. All right, Ricky, let's talk real quick about Andre Pallante. We've spent a lot of time, and I mean we, like me and Bernie and Matt Pauly and all that, we've been talking a lot about Leahy and Liberatore and their struggles, but I think with Pallante pitching tonight and the fact that he has made such a turnaround from where he was last year. Now, it looks a lot like 2024, but he was very good in 2024. And I'm just curious what you see as the difference between him last year and him now.
It's a great question, and I think to kind of add to this, early in spring training, the question is Pallante the fifth starter or not?
Right.
I mean,
right.
That's how concerned we were. So he's made great strides to amplify your point. I just think his command is better. He's more strike one. He's more together. He's more repeatable with his delivery. He's not spiking curveballs in the dirt.
Yeah.
I just think he's got more command of his stuff, and that's just, again, maybe maturity, and some of it's probably mechanics as well.
Yeah, it's just fascinating to watch. His pitch mix changed a bit. He throws the four-seamer a lot less than he did last year, which means more sinkers and more knuckle curves. And to your point, Ricky, that knuckle curve and the slider, those are nasty. He's got two of the better breaking balls in the National League right now.
So when he first started throwing his sinker, 90% of the time it was right at the batter in the right-handed batter's box. I mean, he could not command it. The ball would move like crazy, so he had the idea. He just didn't have the feel of it yet, and he knew he needed that pitch for right-handed batters, and it just wasn't there. So his ability to get righties out with both the sinker and the slider,
I got you back.
Yeah.
I lost you for a little bit
for a second there, but you were making the point about the ability to attack righties and lefties with different stuff.
Yeah, the sinker slider thing has really worked for him, and we'll blame Highway 40 on that problem. But I mean, losing, but which we've all done. Anybody that's lived in St. Louis, but yes, the sinker slider mix against right-handers has made him the pitcher that he is right now.
All right, buddy, we will be listening to you, and we will talk to you on Thursday.
Yeah, you bet. Thanks, guys.
All right, pal. Let's get down to it. Welcome back, DJS on KMOX. This song was just voted top 10 drum intros of all time. Which I'm not fighting. Like, I think Gina Shock's a great drummer. It's the simplest. I could teach anyone to play this in 5 minutes, which just goes to show you how important it is as any musician, but especially as a drummer, just to play for the song. Right? Like, that's as simple as it gets, but that's the perfect intro. Anywho, you know how I'm kind of obsessed with, like, half the population doesn't have an inner monologue, and I just learned a couple new facts like that. Evidently, about half the population, like, when I close my eyes, I see things. I see black, of course, but I always see patterns, and some people don't. And this new one, I always sneeze when I look at the sun.
Yeah.
And evidently that's genetic.
Mm-hmm.
Like, some people don't have that response.
Yep.
Isn't that weird?
Yeah. It's a good thing, though, when you feel like you have a sneeze and you have a solution.
Yeah. Yeah, I can look at the sun, or there's a place in my nose I can push,
yeah,
and it makes me sneeze.
Yeah, a bright light will work, too.
Do you sneeze at the sun?
I don't look at the sun. It's bad for your eyesight.
You got to sneeze sometimes.
You don't really look directly at it. You kind of look in that general vicinity, and then...
I try to avoid that.
Yeah. You're not staring at the sun.
I guess I'll try it next time I go outside.
Just do it now. It's right there.
Because I think it isn't it like the sunlight getting in your nose that does it?
Yeah,
I don't think it's your eyes, because I've done it with the eyes closed a little bit.
Oh, is it because you're raised? So the sunlight getting in your nose is because you've raised
your
nostrils up? Yeah, I'm not 100%.
I'm not 100%. My dad used to think I was, not think, but say I was allergic to the sun because I would sneeze in the sun.
That's the first normal thing you do.
What? Sneeze in the sun?
Yeah.
Yeah, something's got to be normal.
Something is similar between us now. So you saw Disclosure Day.
Yes.
Before you even tell me, let me guess. Every now and then, on like a Sunday, I will watch an 80s or 90s movie just for the feel of it. And when I do, it's always like, oh, isn't that cute? We thought that was exciting back then.
Right.
And this is what I'm gathering about Disclosure Day, when Janelle said on day one, like, it's kind of for an older crowd. Like, it feels like Spielberg made an 80s movie in 2026.
Yeah, it's a reboot of Close Encounters with some slightly different things.
Yeah.
You know? It's not terrible. I'm glad I saw it. I'm glad I saw it in the theater, too, because it's a cool visual in some of the scenes and some of it. But it's like, clearly Steven Spielberg still thinks it's 1985. Because it's got a lot of the old tropes.
Yeah.
You know, the rich company with all the resources, well, they're actually just a bunch of idiots. You know, like, they can't figure out the most basic things.
Yeah.
And it's just like nothing but, you know, smart people doing dumb things, which is super frustrating, yeah, but it is very much an 80s thing, right? Like, in the 80s, they were always painting authorities as dummies and, you know, parents as dummies, and it was just very much an 80s thing, I think, just as a way of being different than previous generations.
Did it move your needle at all on the topic of aliens?
Not really, no. No, there were some neat Easter eggs that I thought were cool for people that are like you and I that follow alien and UFO stuff, where they threw in little references, and you're like, I get that one. I got that one. Because they reference a name. I don't think this is a spoiler, but they referenced a legend of a president bringing a celebrity to a hangar on an Air Force base.
Yes, I know that story.
Yeah, you know that story.
Yeah.
And that's in there. Like, there's a little video of it. I was like, I know that.
Yeah.
So there are a few of those cool things.
Do you guys know that story? The story is that Nixon brought Jackie Gleason
to Homestead Air Force Base.
To Homestead Air Force Base and showed him aliens.
Yes.
And Gleason talked about it later in his life.
Yep.
And it evidently effed him up.
Yes.
Yeah.
I don't know that that is a definitively proven story.
Sure, yeah.
But it's a story, and it's been out there for decades.
There's also a story that you can find in multiple sources that supposedly they have a couple of talks with new presidents. They don't do it all at once. Mm-hmm. And when they had the alien talk with Jimmy Carter, he was devastated and couldn't stop crying. That's a story from the Secret Service.
Okay. Well,
interesting.
I didn't view anything with this movie as particularly influential or moving or game-changing. I don't know why Spielberg thought it was, but again, I think it's just proof that he's still living in the past.
Yeah.
I saw one line. This is definitely not a spoiler, but it's definitely a sign of that whole 80s thing.
Yeah.
Basically, this was a tweet, so I don't know who credit. It's just a random tweet, but they said basically, yeah, everyone in 2026 waits to learn everything on the TV news. And like, yeah, it's not really that's, but that's kind of like, why did you make that a central premise of the movie? And it is,
I've seen that criticized a lot.
And it's like, bro, it's 2026.
Yeah,
why does this have to revolve around local TV news?
Yeah.